This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Hey, thanks for being with us, everybody. We appreciate you. Hopefully you had a good, happy, healthy holiday weekend with friends and family. I certainly did. I appreciated a little bit of time away to spend with my wife and family. So that was a really cool weekend for me. You might have seen some of the pictures on Instagram. You can follow me there at Damon Amendo. Really cool weekend, but happy to be back as well. Coming up this week, or coming up this hour rather, on the show, another angler from Major League Fishing. Kevin Van Dam's going to join us in 20 minutes. I've really enjoyed our conversations with the pro fishermen of the Major League Fishing Tour. They've all had great, great personalities, been really fun to talk to, diverse interests. It's been really cool. So we'll continue this series coming up today. Kevin Van Dam from Major League Fishing in about 20 minutes from now. And this date in mothership history in 40 minutes. Coming up an hour from now, Mike Giardi, NFL Network insider, on all of the question marks surrounding the return of the NFL and training camps. What will that look like? We've now had the NFL cancel the first and fourth preseason games. So now we're down to two. Will it get shaved down even more? I think that makes sense. I think it makes sense to not interact with other teams and to only interact with yourself, control as much as you can control for as long as possible, and then just hit the ground running week one of the NFL season. Do I think it's going to be sloppy football? Of course. But I would have assumed that there was going to be sloppy football no matter what, because I think we're going to see some sloppy sports across the board. I think when the NBA comes back at the end of the month, same thing with hockey, same thing with baseball, I think you are going to see sloppy sport. And I think the same is going to be with the NFL. And if college football plays, I just think that's inevitable. So knowing that, to me, I think it's a smart idea to push interacting with other teams until the games actually matter. Now, the biggest story around the NFL is the potential name change in Washington. Pressure is building on Dan Snyder. Dan Snyder has always thumbed his nose at the suggestion that the team name was offensive or that he should be forced to change it. And Dan Snyder, to me, loses credibility in this arena twice. Number one, that's been the most dysfunctional organization in football for years now. The Lions, the Browns, the Bengals, I mean, they've all had their fair share of dysfunction. But Washington, led by Dan Snyder, has actually been probably the worst. Because in Washington, Dan Snyder is so public with what a buffoon he is. And he is such a tyrant behind the scenes. There are other owners that are just bad at the football part of things, Like, Jimmy Haslam's just bad at picking GMs and coaches and having no patience. But he's not seen as a tyrannical bozo like Dan Snyder is. And, you know, the Ford family in Detroit, not great at football decisions, maybe not a lot of urgency to build a winner. But again, not a tyrannical family that everybody can't stand, that thinks that they're smarter than everybody. Dan Snyder has this kind of award hanging around his neck as the most unliked, ridiculous owner in the NFL. So he loses credibility because he has overseen 20 years of dysfunction in Washington. He has overseen two decades of just bad decisions and dysfunction within that organization. He's like the James Dolan of the NFL. So he loses credibility there. And number two, that Dan Snyder, in the face of suggestions that he should change the team name for years, his talking point has been, screw you, I can do what I want. I own the team. Which is not engaging in any type of conversation. It is just, screw you. And we know the type of guy that Dan Snyder is. He is not this kind of introspective, thoughtful, reasonable, bright, articulate, intellectual. He's not a guy that people say he's got a great heart. He's a great guy to play for. I love coaching for him. I love being employed by him. No, nobody ever says anything good about Dan Snyder. So when you hear his response to this over the years, it's been like, yeah, Dan Snyder's Richie Rich, and he's going to take his ball and go home if you tell him what to do with his money. Let me play for you an audio clip from a couple of years ago of Dan Snyder addressing the team moniker situation.
A Redskin is a football player. A Redskin is our fans. The Washington Redskin fan base represents honor, represents respect, represents pride, hopefully winning, and it's a positive. I would like people to know the history of whether it's Lone Star Deeds, whether it's Walter Blackie Witzel in Montana. It's just historical truths. And I'd like them to understand, as I think most do, that the name really means honor, respect. We sing Hail to the Redskins.
That was Dan Snyder on ABC from a couple of years ago. So here's where I think that argument falls short. If this is such an honorable name, why don't we call Native Americans that? Why don't we call indigenous people that? We all would never stand up in front of a classroom and do a report on Native Americans and use that term and act like it's honorable. We would never do that. Nobody ever uses that phrase as just everyday parlance for Native Americans or indigenous people. So just how much honor is there? Is there honor in it because it's football honor that we score touchdowns and win games and Doug Williams won a Super Bowl MVP and Joe Gibbs won three championships and that's the honor? Because that's not honoring Native American people. That's honoring football players and football success. So I think that's kind of a ridiculous argument. But here's what I would have always said, and you've noticed, I think, if you've listened to the show closely enough over the last couple of years, I don't use that term. I don't ban it here on the show. It's a personal choice of mine, but my personal choice comes from looking at it, thinking about it, having spoken to somebody that I'm close to that's Native American and asking, what do you feel comfortable with? What do you think is right? And when I heard him say that it's not right and that it's hurtful, then, you know, I really wanted to take that and digest that and respect him and respect his culture. And I don't use that phrase here on the show. I don't say that nobody else can use it. It's just a personal choice of mine. And part of that choice is, I think in 20 years, it's going to look unbelievable that we ever widely accepted it. I think the arc of history is going to look back and be like, wow, we did that for a really long time. And I'd like to look back and say in 20 years, yeah, you know what? I kind of knew what was right and I tried to do the best that I could. That's what I hope. To me, Dan Snyder falls short in this way. If this was so honorable, why doesn't the Washington Football Organization use its platform and its wealth to actually help out Native Americans. And this is the thing. There is no more marginalized population in America than Native Americans. I mean, what has happened with slavery and African Americans and people of color is unbelievably hard. And we're all dealing with the reckoning of that now. But man, Native Americans, boy, they might have won this race. You want to talk about marginalized and just horror after horror after horror? This is a people that were purposefully killed in mass form for hundreds of years that American colonialists, European colonialists, came over and just started taking everything from them. Swindling them, cheating them, killing them purposefully, pushing them to the margins. And then, as far to the margins as they were pushed, having been the first people of this land, were then rounded up and marched by foot hundreds of miles to reservations. There is no greater horror in American history than what we did to American Native Americans. Nothing. Nothing can be as bad as this. We came, we saw, we cheated, we swindled, we stole, we killed, we murdered, we locked them up, and we said, you go live there. You don't even have a choice to live with us. You go live there. And your religion's terrible. You need to change our religion. And if not, we're going to kill you. And we are going to do the worst things humanly possible. And that is our history. And don't get it twisted. That's our history. And because this is our history, Native Americans and reservations are unbelievably underserved. Education's poor. Sanitation's poor. Infrastructure's poor. Everything is poor. Everything is unbelievably poor and lacking for our Native American cultures, for what we can help them do and what they can help us be. And so if this is really about honor, then what Washington would do as a football franchise is would say, it is an honor to use this team name. And we will then honor those people by making sure the plight of Native Americans, that we can be better. So instead of just breast cancer awareness, there would be Native American awareness every single game for the Washington football team. There would be Native American awareness and fundraising and helping out with education and infrastructure and suicide rates and all of these alcoholism, all these things that have been at the epicenter of why Native American culture has been pushed to the edges of our communities. But Dan Snyder doesn't care about that. It's not about honor to him. It's about using a team name that he grew up loving. And he doesn't want to change it because he loved it as a kid, still loves it now, and that's that. You know, Washington created something called the Original Americans Foundation. This was a couple of years ago, the OAF, which was supposed to do what I'm talking about. A nonprofit organization started by Dan Snyder that is supposed to help give back to Native peoples. It doesn't do anything. Go look through what the OAF does. It doesn't do anything. They like once tried to put in a skate park somewhere in a on a reservation. They don't do anything. And certainly, 90% of you have never heard of the OAF because Washington barely has it on its team website. It's basically been scrubbed. They did it to take some heat off of them the last time around, but their hearts aren't actually in doing anything right by this. You know, I gotta say, there is a way to navigate this, and it is by having been, over the last couple of years, or since he took over, Dan Snyder, recognizing that you can have a heart, you can be understanding, you can try to be part of the solution, not the problem. And that doesn't necessarily mean just changing the team name. You know, if you just change the team name, that's fine. I would support that. But we're really not helping out our Native American brothers here in the U.S. It doesn't mean that the Washington football team's any more part of doing right by that community. You know, in real actionable form. And so this has always been my problem with this, is that American sports fans and the owners of these teams, they just want the good here. They just want to use the logos and the team names because it sells their merchandise, connects them to their fan base. They just want what works for them. Instead of saying, okay, this is an equation. This is a math equation. We take from it our marketing and merchandising and bond with fans and our history, and we need to give because of that. But no, it's like when I see these hoodlums, these ridiculous people outside of Cleveland Indians games wearing red face paint and dressed up like Chief Wahoo, don't take away the logo. They don't actually care about Native Americans. They just don't want their logo taken away. You know, if the equation was, you know what? I really love Chief Wahoo. Part of my growth, part of my childhood, part of my history. I love it. But you know what? For every $5 I spend on the Indians website, clevelandindians.com, $5 more that I spend has to go to Native American, you know, infrastructure. Nobody ever says that. Okay, you really want Chief Wahoo? All right, then there's a $2 tax that has to go to reservations across the country to help out the infrastructure of Native Americans. Nobody would ever say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Let's do that. Dan Snyder would never say, okay, I'm going to accept a tax here. And I get to keep my team name, but $200 million every year of what I earn from this team goes to Native American causes. And at halftime of every game, I have Native American history on the Jumbotron. And that every season ticket holder, you know, gets a pamphlet for how they can donate to Native American financial institutions or non-for-profit organizations that help out infrastructure. You know, nobody ever says, well, what can we give back by having taken this? And that's the problem here, is that when the Cleveland Indians or Washington are under siege to change, or, you know, let's not use Chief Wahoo, let's not do the tomahawk chop of Braves games or Chiefs games, it is always looked at by Americans as what you're taking away from us. You're taking away our history. You're taking away our traditions. You're taking away our team names. Nobody ever says, and what can we then do to give back? What's the equation here? If we take this and appropriate this, what can we do to give back? It's never that way. It's, I just want to keep what I like. And so ultimately, this whole thing is so selfish because the people that want to keep these team names only want to do it out of their own comfort. And that's what Dan Snyder has always been. I'm not going to change because I'm comfortable and I like it this way. And that's not a good reason. You can hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. When we come back, Major League Fishing with Kevin Van Dam, another professional angler that we'll have here on the show. These guys have been awesome over the last couple of months. Can't wait to talk to Kevin next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
I have no real will towards Damon Amendola.
Joe, I love you.
Damon. All the love, Damon.
All the love.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
No ill will around here. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. And the DA Show is available on your phone. Use the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music to stream us live every single day on your phone, or watch us at watchda.com. Oh, I'm excited about our next guest. He is considered perhaps the greatest professional fisherman ever. He has the biggest number of all-time in career winnings, nearly $7 million. He has 8 Angler of the Year awards. He's got 4 Bassmaster Classics. He is widely considered to be the GOAT. Joining us here on the show for Major League Fishing is Kevin Van Dam. KVD, good morning.
Good morning, man. Great to be with you this morning.
Yeah, it's good to have you here on the show as well. And you're such an outdoorsman, an avid outdoorsman, whether it's duck hunting or deer hunting or fishing or what have you. Has it been hard during the last couple of months because everybody's been kind of shut down? Or for you, being so part of the outdoors, has it kind of been relatively natural just to be, you know, kind of doing the things that you normally have as hobbies?
You know, to be honest with you, at first it was really strange. I think it probably was for everybody, but it is kind of, you know, there's been a silver lining in the fact that I've got to spend more time through this time of the year, you know, fishing and with my boys and just with my family and things like that than I normally get to. And not that we haven't been working, because we have been. You know, I think everybody is trying to figure out ways to adapt to this, you know, what we're doing and still do, you know, conduct your business. And I've been on a lot of Zoom calls, I can tell you that. But no, it has still been some great memories that we've been able to make out in the water.
When this whole thing started back in April, you were raising money for food pantries and food donations, which is a really cool venture by you. You were putting together this amazing prize pack of gear and equipment that you really loved and having people match donations. How did that idea come up, and what did that mean to you to try to give back to food pantries and things like that early during this?
Well, the one thing I can tell you about our fraternity or our family within our industry is there's a really lot of good people, and they're very, very giving. You know, my wife is a person that's very much like that. You know, that's the reason, you know, we started our Kevin Van Dam Foundation some years ago to do, you know, to be able to give back. You know, I've been lucky to make a living at something that I absolutely love to do, and it gives you, you know, a platform to be able to do some of those things. So when this all hit and we just saw so many, you know, so many people, whether it be frontline, you know, medical workers or just people that lost their jobs and things that were just, you know, this hit everybody like a brick wall. And so it was really her idea. And, you know, we put that together to start with. And then we did an all-in challenge, too, with some of my other friends and things like that. So we try to do everything we can to, you know, to give back, you know, to help other people in need. And it's just, I think, again, that is the nature of outdoors people to begin with. They're very helpful. They, you know, our group, you know, if you're broke down on the side of the road with a flat tire on your trailer or something like that, you know, your competitor that you compete against just that day that you're fierce, you know, fighting against for a win, he'll pull over and help you. You know, that's just the nature of the people in this sport.
Major League Fishing, Kevin Van Dam joining us this morning here on the show. MLF Now has the live stream for the 2020 Best Pro Tour season coming up once again this weekend. You can also see Stage 1 Championship Round episode on Discovery Channel coming up on Saturday morning as well. Has that ever happened to you where you were broken down or you saw a competitor broken down and you actually did pull over and pick him up or help him change the flat or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, even during competition, you know, I mean, you know, if somebody's broke down and, you know, they need a spare part or tools, or I carry a lot of that extra, you know, you want to help, you know, you want to help your fellow guy out, because if you were in that same spot, you know, appreciate the same type of respect. So, no, many, many times over the years, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and it's just, one of the things I'm really, really proud of is the quality of the people that I compete against. And that's what makes it really rewarding, too, is that mutual respect and admiration that you know, really everybody has. Even though we're, like I say, we're fierce competitors on the water, we want to win, you know, you still, at the end of the day, you want to be a good person.
Yeah, you know, you had so much success even before Major League Fishing was created. You became an original founder of the circuit, of the league. What was it that drew you to want to help create, you know, a new dynamic with MLF?
Well, in the beginning, the main reason that we, and it was not, it really wasn't my brainchild to speak, or so to speak, but I was one of the original guys, but it really was Gary Klein, who is another professional angler, had this concept of just trying to make the competition a little more exciting and a little more accessible for the fans. So, you know, in the past, we would, you know, catch fish, put them in the live well. We really didn't know how much they weighed or where you stood. You didn't know what your competitors had or, you know, how you were actually doing. You just had to kind of guess. And you'd come in and weigh the fish in, and then, you know, the results were the results at the end of the day. But, well, with Major League Fishing, you know, we score the fish. You know, you catch the fish. We've got an official right there. We weigh the bass, and he's back in the water in the same spot, typically within 30 seconds, you know. And so there's a great conservation aspect. But the biggest thing is the real-time scoring. You know, we all know with the score tracker that we have, and you can follow it online during the live events. You can just follow the score tracker and just see how fast it changes, you know, because every bass that we catch that's over 2 pounds, you can put on the score tracker and it goes towards your daily total. So knowing the score of the game is a big deal. I mean, there's not another professional sport out there where when you're competing, you don't know what the score is. So that was a huge step forward. And it's just, to have the technology to be able to do that, it took a long time. And because our playing fields, we're on public water, we're on, you know, huge bodies of water. Just like this week, we're going to be on Lake Michigan in Green Bay, and you know, it's hundreds of square miles of playing field there that you could be all over. So to be able to know where everybody's at and to see what's going on, it's hard to do. But again, with the technology now, with the live stream, you know, fans can follow it all day long, follow that action all day long. And if you've never watched it, it's really intense. As a competitor, watching that score tracker light up and hearing, you know, guys catching them and seeing where you stand, it really, you know, it really gets to you. And it forces you to do things just like in any other sport. You know, if you're down 17 and it's the fourth quarter and you only got 7 minutes, but you've got to press the envelope and throw some long balls and try to make something happen. And that's exactly the way we look at it too.
I love it. Kevin Van Dam joins us, Major League Fishing all-time career earnings leader, joining us this morning here on the show. Now, you were asked by MLF's website, which I thought was really fun, would you rather haul in a 10-pound largemouth or fight a 6-pound smallie into the boat? So what was your reasoning behind this? What was your answer on this one?
Well, I grew up in Michigan, and I've fished the Great Lakes my whole life, and I love the smallmouth fish. It's my, you know, I love catching all bass, and I love fishing, you know, all parts of the country, but it's something that I get to do all the time. So a 10-pound largemouth is a real, that's a tough mark to hit. You know, over my career, you know, I've been fortunate to catch, you know, more than a handful of them, but it's still really, really, really special and probably harder than ever to catch one. So where 6-pound smallmouth, you know, the Great Lakes fisheries have gotten so good. You know, we've had a lot of things change, you know, over the years, and, you know, gobies, just some invasive species with zebra mussels and gobies that have cleaned up the water. And what we thought in the beginning was a real negative has turned into a real positive for a lot of these fisheries. And so the smallmouth are getting bigger, and a 6-pounder is actually pretty common. So this week at Sturgeon Bay, you're going to see a lot of big smallmouth, you know, put on the score tracker, and it just makes it real exciting. So it's not something I get to do every day. That's why, you know, that's why I choose it. But most anybody else out there, any other fishing fan would tell you a 6-pound smallmouth.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I'm interested in what you said right there. What was the negative that turned into the positive about those invasive species that you were mentioning?
Well, just the unknown, you know, that it was going to take over the fishery and outcompete everything else for the food sources. You know, zebra mussels, for instance, they're filter feeders, and they basically filter the plankton out of the water, which is what all the minnows and the bait fish, and you know, it's the starting point of the food chain basically. And I think biologists were really afraid that they would just overpopulate and just take, you know, take so much out of the water that it would really hurt a lot of these other species. And you know, it's just like a farmer with cows in a pasture. If you got 10 acres, you can only have so many cows in there until it's overgrazed. But what happened is, you know, Mother Nature is really, really good at taking care of herself, and you know, the zebra mussels really boomed in the beginning, and then they just kind of leveled off, and they have done a really good job of cleaning up a lot of the Great Lakes and taken a lot of the pollution and things out where it used to be dirtier water. Now lakes are very, very clean. And smallmouth are sight feeders, so they've really benefited from, this cleaner water. And a lot of other things have benefited from the zebra mussels, that feed on them. There's sunfish and crayfish and things like that that kind of go after them. So not every, not everything that we think is bad initially turns out long-term that way. And that's kind of how the zebra mussels have been through the Great Lakes.
Wow, that's really interesting. That is very, very cool. Kevin Van Dam joins us this morning here on the show. So you can tune in to the full day coverage coming up daily, 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. Central Time, from July the 10th through July the 15th, the final stage of the 2020 Bass Pro Tour season on MLF Now, the live stream, which is free, MajorLeagueFishing.com or the MLF app. Also, fans can catch 2-hour Stage 1 Championship Round episode on the Discovery Channel coming up on Saturday morning, starting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time and Pacific. Kevin Van Dam is a living legend, and he joins us here on the show. KVD, this was so cool, man. Thanks so much for dropping by and spending some time with us. Good luck this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun week, and you definitely want to tune into the live stream and watch it. If you've never experienced professional fishing, Major League Fishing, it's so intense. It's fascinating. I know a lot of my friends there that are into it, their wives don't fish at all. It just hooks you real quick. So it is fast paced. It's fun. And we're looking forward to having a great event.
Yeah, no doubt about it. KVD, appreciate the time today, man. Thanks.
You bet. You guys have a good one. And we look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you. Kevin Van Dam joining us this morning on the show. I've loved having all these anglers from Major League Fishing join us on the show. As I've said before, when sports shut down back in March, everything just went quiet, except Major League Fishing was still cooking because they could be outdoors, naturally socially distanced, out of their own boats, middle of the water. Now, eventually, they shut down as well for a couple of weeks, but they've been back. But when they were competing and there was no other sports competing, I said, let's have them on. Absolutely. Let's do them. Major League Fishing reached out to me and I said, yeah, I think it's a great idea. And all of them have been so cool, so down to earth, grounded, fun, good conversations. That's a great zebra mussel conversation. Who knew? You see, there's a little bit to learn here on the show as well. Not just stupidity for 4 hours every single day. That was good. Erica Herskowitz is in for Andrew Bogish this morning with our headlines. Erica, I was wondering, was your neighborhood full-on fireworks neighborhood on the 4th of July, or was it a relatively quiet Saturday night?
No, it was full-on fireworks. And I remember, I live in New Jersey, and fireworks were always illegal. So it was like sort of like if you had fireworks, you somehow got like through some black market to go get some like bottle rockets or whatever.
Yeah.
But now it's full-on just explosions from every angle.
So the concept here,
that we lit off.
The theory here has been that people are exploding more fireworks this year than ever before, just as a release of tension. Everybody just wants some type of release, and fireworks provides that. And so that there's more fireworks now than ever before, and that people have been complaining in so many neighborhoods that it's like an incessant fireworks display every single night. Has your neighborhood been like that? Like every night there's a lot of fireworks, or just on Saturday?
No, it's every night. But I feel the complete opposite because it makes me so stressed because all I could think of is like a hand blowing off or like someone losing an eye. So like the idea that this is some kind of stress release, the whole time I'm like, get back, don't put your hands there, run away. Like I was yelling at my husband, he was lighting up these little baby ones and I'm like, run. Like I was a nervous wreck. So I don't see it as a stress release. It's ridiculous.
Full mom mode from Erica Herskowitz on fireworks 4th
100%. Of July. 100%. Yeah. I don't need anybody losing a thumb and then they can't play in their NFL season. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. No JPPs this year, thankfully. That's exactly right.
No.
All right. We got headlines here. What do we got in the headlines?
All right. Well, three minority owners are reportedly looking to sell their shares of the Washington Redskins, DA. Apparently unhappy with team owner Dan Snyder. The trio includes FedEx CEO Fred Smith, said to own a combined 40% of this team. The news comes as the Redskins finally agreed to consider a name change amid new pressure and the national focus on human rights and social injustice. Well, if you're Hampering for some hockey, the NHL appears to be moving in the right direction as the league and players' union reportedly agreed on health and safety protocols for the restart of the season. The deal includes daily testing for COVID-19, some quarantine rules if players test positive, also limits roster size and gives players the option to opt out of playing as long as they notify their team by Tuesday. The deal isn't entirely done, though, as the two sides still need to work out a new CBA to move forward to the next phase, which calls for training camps to start on July 13th. The NBA is getting closer to implementing its restart plan. The Bucks and Kings both shut down their practice facilities yesterday after the latest round of NBA COVID testing. The Nuggets, Heat, Clippers, and Nets all closed down last week. No word on who or how many tested positive. That move comes as teams are traveling to get ready to depart for Orlando on Thursday. Scrimmages for the NBA begin on July 22nd. And on Saturday, the biggest name in baseball so far opted out of playing this season. It was Dodgers ace David Price. This morning, Braves pitcher Felix Hernandez became the latest player to say he's not playing. The former Cy Young Award winner worked out with the Braves over the weekend in Atlanta, but has decided not to play. Four Braves did test positive in the first wave of league-wide testing, including teammate Freddie Freeman, who's apparently having some symptoms, including some fever. This week marked the official start of baseball summer camps. And Bryson DeChambeau closed with a 7-under-65 yesterday to win the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit, 3-stroke victory over third-round leader Matthew Wolff. And that's what's happening.
All right, very cool. Thank you, Erica. When we come back, this date in mothership history. Remember that time that Kirk Cousins tried to cook mutton? It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
All right, so 2 years ago on this date, July the 6th, 2018, we talked about coming out of the holiday weekend, how Kirk Cousins apparently grilled up mutton on the 4th of July. Here's the clip.
The meat that Kirk Cousins has on that grill looks disgusting.
You like that?
No, I hate that.
You like that?
I think it looks reprehensible.
Unseasoned lunks.
What is that? Let's just start here, Mraz. There are 8 wedges of meat on there. They are clearly not chicken. They appear to have no bone on there. There are 4 wedges of meat. What meat? They are light brown, tannish, it looks, and they're kind of glistening. What do you think? It looks like they have no marbling there.
No grill marks either for being brown like that.
There's no grill marks. Perhaps the grill is not on yet. Maybe Kirk Cousins just put it on. But let's start here. What kind of meat is that?
I'm going to give you a shot from way downtown here. What about mutton?
You think Kirk Cousins is grilling 8 chunks of mutton on the 4th of July?
Mutton slabs, yeah.
You think he's grilling 8 mutton slabs?
Well, you know, before you bash, you give me a better answer based on what that looks like.
Do you even know what mutton is?
Yeah.
What?
It's I don't know, it's some kind of...
What do you think mutton is?
I think it's like lamb or sheep.
It is sheep. You're right about that. Whew.
That's a big win for me.
That's a big win.
So maybe sheep's like near their liver area, a little browner?
You think that Kirk Cousins decided to grill up 8 slices of mutton.
I'd call those slabs.
On the 4th of July.
You like that? You like that?
Kirk Cousins is a little weird. And I just think if you look at it, I don't know what other answer you could come up with other than mutton.
I think the steak is showing no marbling. I think it's showing no bones.
No seasoning.
Perhaps a London broil or something that might have been in some type of marinade that made it just look like very drab, like a brown.
It's not even a little wet, a little drippy.
Exactly. There is no wet. There's no drip.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Moist. I think the most startling part of this is if there were 2 hunks of what I believe to be mutton on there, and it was him and his wife.
You're holding to the mutton.
I'm holding to the mutton. And it was him and his wife. That's fine. He's got, what, 8 to 10 on there?
There's 8.
He's serving people
that.
And that, to me, is the most disturbing part.
Yes.
You want to eat what you want to eat, you and your wife, that's fine. If it's disgusting slabs of mutton and or steak that's unseasoned. But you're clearly having people over. And frankly, as an NFL quarterback who just signed for guaranteed mega bucks, can I get, you know, some shrimp on there?
It's amazing because this is the most Kirk Cousins moment ever. This is 2 years ago, 4th of July weekend. He takes a picture
of a lake that he is vacationing on. And there is this deck chair that is looking over the lake. Beautiful, serene lake. Beautiful, sunny day. And then his grill. And so this is just the most Kirk Cousins thing ever. Kirk Cousins is like, oh, yeah. Great day. Got this grill cooking. People are going to love this. What a shot. The deck, the sun, the water, the grill. And he's got the grill top open. And there are eight chunks, light tan drab slabs of something that barely look edible. And of course, in Cousins' mind, he's like, oh, these steaks are awesome. And the rest of us are like, those look disgusting. Those look like they are made with leather. Those look plastic or polyurethane. They look awful, Kirk.
You like that?
And Kirk Cousins is like, oh, we are killing it today. These steaks are awesome. They're the bomb.com.
You like that?
And we're all like, ew, what are you cooking? I actually think maybe they are vegan or vegetarian fake meat. Because they just don't look like real meat.
You like that?
We've never found out from Kirk what exactly he was cooking there, but they do not look like real meat. It's like, imagine a Lego movie cooked steak. That's what this steak looks like. If the Lego Batman cooked steak, that's what it's just. It looks plastic. It looks disgusting.
Crunching and munching.
And Kirk Cousins... he's like, this is awesome. Got the best steaks ever. Killing it. Just, you know, your friend that you're like, oh, no, you're not killing it, dude. Not at all. Not even close to killing it, bro.
You like that?
Please kill whatever it is that you're grilling a little bit more. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And don't forget, you can hit me up with a question. DA on CBS is the handle. Again, DA on CBS. And I'll read through those coming up here later on in the show. Speaking of the 4th of July, man, Joey Chestnut did it again. And it's tough. Because as you all know, Joey Chestnut these days, he is not a man of honor here on the DA show. Number of years ago, Joey was organized, scheduled to come in and play a little wienership with us. That sounds weird. But right around the 4th of July to help promote the Coney Island hot dog eating competition, he was supposed to come in. And even though he couldn't eat a lot of hot dogs, he was... told to us and sold to us by his PR people that Joey Chestnut was going to come in and eat creative hot dogs that we had dressed up with brainstorms from listeners as a way to kind of help promote his show. And he came in and he said, no, I'm not going to do it. And we said, well, your PR person told us you're going to do it. Nope, not doing it. Unless you pay me, I'm not doing that. And we're like, that's not how this works. And he couldn't have been a bigger jerk about it. So we just... have banned him from the show forever and have said we're not rooting for Joey Chestnut. And yet on Saturday, the man eats 75 hot dogs. 75 freaking hot dogs. He beat the closest competitor by 33 hot dogs.
How could it happen?
Now think about this. He is so much better than everybody that he nearly doubles their output. It's not a fair fight. It's not a fair fight at all. And it makes me wonder, when are we going to get a different champion? Because if Joey Chestnut can eat 75 hot dogs, which is a record, and the next competitor eats 33, and I think Badlands Booker had 20, when will he ever lose again?
What's the point?
Really, what is the point? Why are we doing this? Do we have to give Joey Chestnut like a 20 hot dog handicap? He eats 75, but it only counts as 55. Because this is insane. 75 hot dogs, and that was 33 better than the next? It's not even a competition anymore. We got to do something about this. And it's just devastating when Joey is obviously banned and an enemy of the mothership, and yet comes out and absolutely delivers a haymaker.
Crunching and munching.
And Badlands, you know, is our favorite. Great heart, great spirit, loves the show, comes on whenever we ask. Did a Knowing Matt episode with me about how to competitive eat. And yet, he's getting torched by 55 hot dogs to Joey Chestnut. What are we doing? What are we doing? When we come back here on the show, Mike Giardi, NFL Network insider, on the challenges that the NFL is facing about even having a preseason. It's next, the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.